I know we're all very weary, so we won't go too long tonight, hopefully. Long did we enjoy the Word. Calvin gave out the first hymn tonight, and Dad was telling me a little story about he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Several years ago, Dallas Theological Seminary, when they first had begun the school there, they almost ran out of money. And so they had a prayer meeting about it, and Brother Ironside was there, H.A. Ironside. He prayed something like this: "Father, thy word said that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. Pray that you'd sell a few of them and send the money to the school." Well, what he didn't know about that time when he was praying, a cattleman walked into the office there at the school and gave him about $2,000 and told him the story that he had sold a few cattle and he thought the school could use the money. And so the secretary went and knocked on the door, and the brother leading a prayer meeting opened it, and she told him the story. Then after the brother got done praying, he said, "Brother Harry, the Lord just sold a few of those cows. The Lord's able to provide for our needs." You turn to John chapter 14. Today is Father's Day, and we just want to make a few comments about a father. John 14 and verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been such a long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" The Lord's question to Philip is an interesting one. "Have I been such a long time with you?" In actuality, the Lord only spent about 3 years with Philip. Doesn't seem like much time, does it? And neither does 18 years seem like much time as a father with your children. But the Lord said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And I think this is really the ultimate verse for any father, because I believe this is really what the Lord expects of any father. "He that hath seen me," if I'm a Christian father, I should display to my children what my heavenly Father is like. For that's the reason God has placed men in the home to be fathers. Now, I'm not speaking from experience, and you know that. And yet there's much that we can learn from the Word of God concerning fathers. Today in the world, as we look around us, I really believe that the biggest problem in the world today is men. Men not assuming the responsibility that God has placed upon them. We can look in this chapel right tonight and see some men from families missing. The wives are here, but the husbands and the fathers are missing. And I really believe this tells us something, because ultimately God places a father in the home to be the spiritual leader of that home, and he holds him accountable for whatever happens in that home. What an awesome responsibility it is. In the scriptures, we read of only two fathers, spiritual fathers, that is. One is God our Father, and we were reminded of him this morning when James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God the Father. And then we know the other is presented by the Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 8, and verse 44, when he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Two fathers. And I'd like to ask the question tonight, which father is your father? Naturally speaking, the devil is our father. We're all born in sin, David says. He is our father from birth. But God the Father, in his great love for us, recognizing our lost condition in sin, he sent the Lord Jesus, his beloved Son, into the world to die for our sins. The moment we trust in him, we have a new father. Even the Father that gives us all these great and wonderful gifts that are presented to us in the Word of God. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6, he said, "To us, There is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things and we by him. Can you just imagine God the Father's heart for just a moment? When he had created man, and when Satan came in and drew his creation's heart away from him, and they went off in sin, they disobeyed him, and he had to provide a way that he could establish a relationship with those people again, with those sinners again. We know he did that through the Lord Jesus. And some wonderful words are uttered to us in the latter part of John when the Lord Jesus is speaking to Mary, remember? She was the one who constantly was there ever since the Lord delivered her from the demons. She was always following, seeking the Lord. And she was there and the Lord said, Mary, you go tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father. That was always true. God was always the Lord Jesus' Father. And then he said this in some wonderful words, and to your Father. And it was because of the work that the Lord had just done at the cross that he could say those words, that God can be our Father. Malachi said in chapter 2 and verse 10 of his book, have we not all one Father? He said, hasn't God created us? Isn't he really our Father? He is, but he can only be a Father to us after we obey him and we trust his Son as our Savior. The moment we do that, God commends his love towards us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us and we're saved. What manner of love, we sang this morning, God hath put upon us that we should be called the children of God. Some of us may think that we're fathers on our own, but that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that God is the one who makes earthly fathers. Abraham, he says in chapter 17 and verse 5, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made thee. And we know that's true with Abraham, don't we? But we know how many years he and Sarah tried to have children. And then it was impossible for them children other than God's intervention in their lives. He made him the father of many nations. Jacob and Rachel. Remember Rachel? The Scripture records for us that she was envious of her sister. And she said to her husband, give me children or else I die. And we read that Jacob's anger was kindled against his wife. And he said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? So I'm not God. I can't become a father just by wishing it, praying about it. Only God can provide children. It's interesting, Joseph, when his father was dying, he brought his two sons in to his father, and he said, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. We know he's referring to Egypt and the world. God gave these sons to him. And his father said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless you. We know that's when Jacob crossed his hands and pictured the cross work of the Lord Jesus. That's where the true blessing comes to our children. Isn't that interesting? God gave me these children in this place. And every Christian father that's here tonight is a tremendous blessing from God. He's given you children in this place, in the world. Why is he given them? So that one day you can take them with you to that place and show them their heavenly Father. The Scripture says that a wise father teaches his children by practice, by the way he lives, and by word about the Father in heaven. Abraham, the Lord says this, he says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. How do we get blessing as fathers? Because we try to guide our home the way God would have us to. And it's only in doing that, the Lord's help, that we can really have the things that God has promised to us in our homes. Do we read the Scriptures to your children? I'm thankful that my father, from the day I was born, we sat around the table. We don't do it much anymore, but we sat around the table every night after supper, and we had a family Bible reading. And I venture to say, because when I was in the Bahamas, I talked to a lot of couples, and there were very, very few that did this. And it's a tragedy. It's good to just take some time alone with your family and read the scriptures unto them. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 19, this is what the Lord says, the fathers will make known to the children thy truth. The father. And we know moms do it too, but look who God holds responsible, the father and the home. And of course we know that children are always blessed by a godly father. In Genesis 26 and verse 24, Isaac had done the same thing his father had done. He said that his wife was his sister, and he was scared. And the Lord came to him and said this, I am the God of thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. See, God was still answering the promise that he made to his father Abraham. And Isaac was walking in the way of his father, and the Lord blessed him as a result of his father. Fathers need to be careful of favoritism. In the latter part of Genesis, we read about Jacob and Joseph and how his brothers thought about their brother. It says this, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. That's a difficult thing, isn't it, fathers? You know? You've got a favorite child. Maybe it's your son. Maybe it's your daughter. Fathers generally tend to go for their daughters. I know Jenny got away with murder in our house because she was the only girl. But we know, and we need to be careful of favoritism in our home. God loves each one of us individually the same. And we need his help to do that, to show our love to our children equally. Also, fathers need to recognize that the Lord may have a purpose for their children that they're not really aware of. And sometimes you make a mistake in judging them. Remember that was true in Joseph's case, wasn't it? He had a dream and he told his father and his brethren about it. And this is what his father says. It says his father rebuked him for what he said. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. He listened, but he still rebuked his son. But we know that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? God had a purpose, a special purpose for Joseph. And he revealed it to him, not necessarily to his family. Also in Samson's case, we read in Judges chapter 14 and verse 3, Samson's father and his mother said unto him, and you'll run into this too, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all thy people that thou goest to take a wife of the heathen, the Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. And then the scriptures record this, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for the Philistines had dominion over Israel. God had a purpose, even in Samson marrying this heathen Philistine woman, or wanting this Philistine. And we need to be careful as fathers that we pray and ask the Lord for wisdom so that we'll know what his purposes are for children. And of course, we know that parents, especially fathers, need to pray for their children. I was talking to Marilyn and Aaron one night, and Marilyn asked me a question. She goes, Keith, what do you think really made the difference in your life? And I said, what made the difference in your life? It's kind of a hard question for me to answer. And she said, well, I really think it was my parents praying for me. And I would say the same thing. Not only my parents, but my grandparents prayed for me. I can remember when I was a kid, I'd go down to my grandparents' house and I'd knock on the door and wasn't an answer. And they had a little stoop right in front of us, like a show window, a half show window in front of their house. And I got up in that stoop and I put my hands up against the glass so I cut the glare out. And I looked inside the window, and there were my grandfather and my grandmother on their knees in their living room praying. And my grandmother, after she died, she wrote a note saying, I've prayed every day for you, Elliot, and for the children, that you'll all go on to serve the Lord. Does God answer prayer? The only reason I'm up here tonight is because he answers prayer. I'm sure of that. He keeps us through prayer. Remember in Luke chapter 1, verse 33, Zacharias even prayed before. And Gabriel came to him and said, thy prayer is heard, and you'll have a son. And what a son he was. But he prayed beforehand for that son. And we know that Hannah prayed for Samuel as well. Then fathers need to teach their children by discipline. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, listen to these words, both parents and children, because we don't hear them too much. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. You hit your mom or your dad? In the Old Testament, the law was you would surely be put to death for that. Verse 17 of the same chapter. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Not just touching them. But what if I just cursed at them? I took you out and stoned you to death. And then in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 9. For every one that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Think about that. Those are some awesome words. And I see it happening all the time today. I'll see kids hitting their parents because they're mad. You didn't do that in the Old Testament. That was sin. And such a tremendous sin that God said they were worthy of death because of it. Why did God exact that penalty, you think? Because dad and mom in the home are his representatives. Brent, I was talking to him on the phone the other night, and he was telling me, he's just been thinking recently about the authority of God. He said there's not one area of life today that the authority of God is not being challenged. Children being disobedient to parents. Wives not submitting to husbands. Husbands not being what they should be before the Lord. In the church isn't subject to the elders. We're not subject to the government. Of course, we're not subject to God. Every area, as we look around us today, is being challenged. God's authority. And we need to be careful as parents that we recognize that in our homes. It's a lot of work to correct your children, and it's hard. I remember my dad saying, after he gave us a whipping, this hurts me more than we've all heard that when we were younger. But as you get older, you realize that's really true. It does hurt you more. And it hurts God our Father when he has to discipline us too. But it's for our own good. I remember hearing Brother Lyndon Sheridan speaking about discipline. And he was just saying that sometimes we'll just whip our kids because they bothered us. And then they'll tell a lie and we won't do anything. And he said we need to be careful that we're doing it for their good, for their ultimate blessing, and not just because they're at the end of our patience. We don't ever get to the end of God's patience. Whenever he disciplines us, it's for our welfare. And we need to teach our children discipline. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. If you delight your children, if you delight in your children, you can only delight in them if you correct them, if you discipline them. You're robbing them of what is good if you don't. Then in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13, Solomon says this over and over again. A foolish son is a calamity of his father. That's a tremendous word, isn't it? A foolish son is a calamity of his father. But then he says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. I've mentioned this before. Do you remember what the difference between the wise man and the foolish man in Scripture were? They both heard the word of God, right? But only one obeyed the word of God. And that's why it's important to teach your children obedience. Because when you teach them obedience, when they hear God's word, they'll obey that as well. We need help in these areas. You know, to be a father is an actual impossible job to really do it effectively unless we have the Lord's help. Calvin was just mentioning, I must have the Savior with me. If anybody needs a Savior with them every day, it's a father. And we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. I'm not a father. I'm a spiritual father to a few. I need to be careful how I deal with those. I'm an uncle. I'm a father sometimes. Not a full-time one, because I don't know if I have the patience for it. But yet, the Lord wants me to be careful, too, in how I teach my nephews and niece. And then we need to be careful that fathers always have the Lord the top place in their heart, that the Lord is always there first. We read this about Solomon. It's sad. The latter part of his life, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, says that when he was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. We need to be careful of that, fathers, you know. If we think back of Job, his wife said, curse God and die. That wasn't some good advice from her. And he didn't listen to that, did he? He said, even if the Lord slays me, I will trust him. And we need to be careful in our homes that we know the word of God, because we're going to answer for it to him one day, and that we're careful to do what the Lord wants us to do. What our wives tell us, what our children tell us, I have to stand before the Lord one day and answer to him for how I've conducted that home. The Jews, we know, took spiritual pride in who their father was. And we need to be careful of that. Children that are here tonight, maybe your father and mother are both Christians, and you might think that you're going to get to heaven because your father and mother are Christians. But the Lord warned about that. The Jews also always used to say about Abraham, we have Abraham to our father. They boasted in that. Because Abraham was their father, they were going to be blessed of God. But what did the Lord Jesus tell them? He told them this. He said, God is able of these stones right here to raise up children unto Abraham. He doesn't need us. God does not need us to raise up children. We need him to raise up children. He does not need us. And we need to be careful that we trust the Lord for ourselves. Every boy and girl here tonight, you need to trust the Lord Jesus for yourself, and not just because mom and dad are saved. And they pray for you, too, that you'll trust him. Ultimately, every one of our jobs on earth is to glorify our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify you. Is that what he said? No, he said, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And that's the job of a father, to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. There are some promises in the Scripture for fathers. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, it says that your father knows what you need before you ask. Now, your kids don't generally ask you, Dad, are we going to have something to eat tonight? Are we going to be living here tonight? Are you going to have a job? They don't care about any of those things. They just trust Dad and Mom for those things. And we need to trust our Heavenly Father, too. If our kids don't ask us that, we don't need to worry about that with our Heavenly Father. He knows what we have, listen what he says, need of. Not what we want necessarily, but what we need. The Father knows, and he'll provide it. Before we ask, but we should ask, we have not because we ask not. That's in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. And then the Lord says this in chapter 8 and verse 28 of John, as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. That's a promise. And every father here, every Christian father, if they're going to be able to teach their children, the Father, your Heavenly Father, has to teach you. The Lord Jesus said that. He said the things that he taught when he was here, he learned from his Father in heaven. And we need to go the same route. As my Father taught me, I speak these things. That's important. Sometimes what we say is not so important, but what God says is important, and we should teach our children that. What I say doesn't matter. But what does God say? You must be born again. Is that important for your children to hear that? Absolutely. That's what God says. You must be born again. You have to be saved. And all these other things that the Scripture teaches that are important to us, as the Lord teaches them to us, we should teach them to our children. Then he also said this, the works which the Father hath given me to finish, these same works I do, in John chapter 5, verse 36. Work is a good thing for children, for fathers to teach children. You know that? I didn't like it when my dad tried to teach me this. Keith, take out the garbage. Keith, mow the lawn. And then when my mom said, Keith, wash the dishes, that was pushing it. But I had to do it. I had to go in there and get my soapy hand. This isn't for a man to get these kind of hands. These works. But it's a good thing for children to learn how to work. F.W. Borum, in one of his books, he talks about life's luggage. And he talks about how the burdens that the Lord gives us are really a good thing. You know? The man is complaining about his wife all the time, you know, she's only the pain and nagging me. And the minute the Lord takes her, then he really misses the burden, even the burden that the Lord may have placed upon him. And your children, they need to learn how to work. Dad, give me how much money are you going to give me this week? What kind of allowance? You know, not for doing anything, you know. I mean, my grandparents taught us that. We'd go down there, we'd do something, my grandmother would give something to us. But we had to do something. We had to work for it. And our Father, our Heavenly Father, has given us a work to do. And we're really happy when we're doing that work. And children will be happier when they have work to do. If they don't have anything to do, watch out. You've got problems. Give them something to do. Give them something spiritual to do. Go in and read your Bible. And I'm going to give you a test. We used to have sword drills at our house because we want to really get good at the book. So we could beat the other kids at chapel. And we'd just get sit around the table, and Dad would give us verses, and we'd look them up. That's some good times to think back upon, and very helpful to us, too, in the Lord. God promises to be a father to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What a tremendous verse that is. I will be a father unto you. And there's a lot of children today that don't have a father. The Lord promises, if you trust my son, I'll be your father. I'll take care of you. We know that not one bird falls to the ground without your heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus said, knowing about it. And he knows what we need each day. Our Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I don't lack anything spiritually, as far as a blessing is concerned. He's given us all spiritual blessings. That comes from our Father. In heaven, he gives all good gifts, doesn't he? But how do they come to us? They come to us right through the cross. They come to us through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that he gives us the spirit of wisdom. We need a spirit of wisdom today. These are tough days we're living in. And there is a lot of pressure on homes. Divorce, 1 out of 2 in America. Think about all the abortions. Why are all the abortions happening? Probably a lot of them because a father is getting the girl pregnant and he's leaving the girl. That's probably why. He's not doing, meeting his responsibility before the Lord. What a world we live in, and we need wisdom. And it says in Revelation, in the knowledge of him, we need to know the Lord. As we know the Lord Jesus, then we'll really learn how to be an effective father. For isn't that what the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 9? What was one of his titles? The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even the Lord Jesus is a father. And it tells us that the Father made him the captain of salvation, perfect health, through sufferings, through what he went through in the world, what he saw, what the Lord Jesus saw, what he dealt with each day as far as humans are concerned in their sin. It taught the Lord a lot, and it made him an effective high priest for us. For today, it says he's in heaven, and he feels, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like. He's been here. He's walked in this world. He knows what it's like. And so we have an effective high priest and a wonderful father. He was a firstborn from among the dead. He really is our spiritual father, and we trust the Lord Jesus. And then we have God as our father as well. And that says he's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is what God the Father has done for us through the Lord Jesus. And then he has loved us, the Bible says. Our Heavenly Father loves us. And we can't measure. We were thinking about that this morning, the Lord's Supper. We can't measure it. The scripture tells us that. And even the hymn writer says, love that no thought can reach. No tongue can teach it. There's no love like his. And it says he gives us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. We have a hope because we know the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the Father. We're going to be with the Father and his Son one day. And he has begotten us according to his abundant mercy. He's begotten us by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And 1 John 3:1, he calls us his sons. These are all things that our Heavenly Father has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's begotten us again by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead. And He wants you to be one of His children if you're not tonight. He wants you to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior so He can be a Father unto you too. I believe one of the best fathers in Scripture, you may not agree with this, but just upon my studies, I read about Zebedee. And it tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. Listen to these verses. The Lord Jesus was going on from calling Peter and Andrew. And from there He saw two other brethren, James and John, in a boat with their father, mending their nets. And the Lord Jesus called them. You know what the Scripture says? They immediately left the boat and their father and followed Him. How would you have reacted if you were the father? We don't read of any reaction by Zebedee, which makes me believe that he brought up his children to please the Lord. And when they heard his voice, they obeyed it. Remember we talked about John, too, pointing, "Behold the Lamb of God." He had some disciples, didn't he? But they weren't his disciples. He was pointing them to the Lamb of God. There he is. Follow him. Zebedee. We don't know much about his life, but I really believe he's probably one of the best fathers. The Scripture records it. But his children, when they were called to be used of the Lord, they immediately followed him. They never turned back. We don't read any more about Zebedee, their father, but I wonder someday in heaven if we're going to meet that father and find out really what he had done with those two boys. We know that Peter and Andrew were fishing, don't we? They were the fishers of men. They were out fishing. But James and John were mending their nets. And you know, you need both in Christianity. You need those who are out fishing for new believers, and you need those who will mend those who are saved, you know, and help them along the way. And the Lord made wise choices of His disciples. These are just a few thoughts about fathers. And I'd like to really challenge each of us. I'm not a father yet. But challenges with what the Lord Jesus said here in John chapter 14. Philip says, "Show us the Father." Let's change it a little bit. Let's say, show me a Father. Show me a Father that God really has today on the earth. Show me a Father. And then show me the Father. Now I can look at my own dad, and I'm thankful he's got his weaknesses, but I can see the Lord Jesus in him. And he's always tried to point his children, not to himself, because he recognized his weakness and inability, but he pointed us to the Lord Jesus. And he said, "You trust in him. You trust that heavenly Father." And he showed us in a practical way what our heavenly Father was like. And that's why I really believe we've come to know the Lord Jesus, all of his children. It's a wonderful thing. Remember the Lord said, "Behold, I and the children that thou hast given me." He said in John chapter 17, "Of all the Father has given me, have I lost none except for the son of perdition." None. How many of the Lord Jesus really lost? How much of a success are you, Father? If you're a success at work, if you're a success at the chapel, and yet your own children never come to know the Lord. How much of a success are you? You're not. You've really failed. And we need to be careful that we keep our priorities right, that our own children recognize that you love them and that you want to see them saved. And we ought to pray that. Solomon did. He said, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." He was really praying that before the evil days come. I was saved when I was 6 years old. Got about 11 or 12, I wasn't sure about it anymore. But somebody remind me what the Scripture said. "Did you believe in the Lord Jesus?" "Yes, I did." "Well, you have everlasting life." It's a promise. I was talking to Billy Bradford recently. And Brent asked me one time, he says, "Keith, if you ever get to be a father, how are you going to teach your children the attributes of God, the Father? Because that's what you should be teaching them. His grace, His mercy, His love, His justice, His compassion." And there's all kinds of things we can think about that are true of God our Father. And I was talking to Billy Bradford junior recently, and he was telling me that his son had been bad at school. And when he got home, Dad had a little conversation with him, and he says, Billy, I heard you were bad today. Is that true? He says, yes, Dad, that's true. And he says, well, what happens when you're bad? And he says, well, I get a spanking. He says, well, go get the paddle. You know how that is. Lynn got the paddle, and he brought it back, and he gave it to his dad. And he says, now, Billy, I'm going to teach you about a new word today. It's called mercy. He said, you see, you deserve a spanking, but I'm not going to give you a spanking. He says, and that's what God has done for you too, in the person of his son. You see, you're a sinner, and you deserve to go to hell, but God sent his son to die for you. And that's his mercy. That's what mercy means. And Billy registered on him what God had done for him. And there's practical ways of doing that in the home of teaching your children really what God is like. I pull a story about the time when I filled my dad's tank up with gas, with water. I was out there with the hose and had the gas cap off and filling up with one of those sprayers, because it looked something like a gas nozzle, and I just undid it and put the water in. My mom came out the front door. She said, Keith, what are you doing? And I just took it. I'm just playing around with the water, Mom. And she didn't realize I was doing anything in the car, because when I saw her, immediately I pulled it out of the gas tank. I was going all around with it. Well, that night we were going on to Bible Truth Chapel down south of 7th Street for a Bible study, and Dad was speaking. And we all jump in the car, and we get down by Hialeah Racetrack, and the car just gone. And then he got a wrecker, and he came and towed the car, and we all went to the gas station. And the guy looks at me and says, oh, you got a gas tank full of water. Then my mom, I didn't know who was responsible for this. And I'll never forget, we were all on the front porch, the whole family then, and it was dark. And my dad looked down at me and says, Heath, I know what you did. He said, please don't ever do that again. And he showed me the Lord's mercy, because I knew what I deserved. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, what I deserve. And we can show our children in practical ways. And we need to be careful that how we, as fathers, show them God, our Father, that our lives reflect Him to them, so that they, seeing us, will see the Lord Jesus. And that's what should be true of all of us, people that we work with, at home, at the chapel, wherever we go, people, when they look at us, they should see the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you? 3 years. That's not very long. But he said, if you've seen me in those 3 years, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father. That's a tremendous statement that the Lord Jesus made there. You've seen everything that's true of my Father, you've seen in me. And oh, the Lord would help us in our lives, that when people would see us, they'd see Him and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for each father that's here, each Christian father. We know that David said that Thy truth endureth through all generations, and we believe, Father, that the way that Thou dost still work is through the family. And we just pray, Father, in a world that's just tearing families apart, and Christian families too, that Thou will help each of us, especially Christian fathers, to be in Thy Word, to know Thee, Lord Jesus, and to live in a way that they would keep their families together and honoring the Lord each day. We give Thee thanks for our time together and for the day, for the word that we've heard challenging us, realizing that the Lord's coming is near. We just pray that none here may have children that are still unsaved then, but that they all might be saved. We give Thee thanks in the Lord Jesus' name, amen.